We're still in. Cindy, come here just a second. I got it down to. See, it comes up like this.
Yeah.
And then this comes up. I guess I'm going to say accept. When I say cancel, I'll lose the whole thing.
Uh-oh.
See? I better accept, huh?
Oh, shoot. Mike.
What is it?
I don't have Windows 7 on here. I mean, I've got Windows 7, but I don't have Office. So go down here. You want in Word?
Let me just say, okay.
It's not going to work.
What happens to this? How do you get rid of that?
Excel.
Wait, let's go. Don't make changes.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, go down here and pull up.
This is it right here.
Yeah. So just make it bigger.
I just need to get rid of this.
You got it now?
I've
never had to
close
this. Your stuff.
Okay, now. I need to bring this down.
Would you like the mouse?
I don't know what happens here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that. It's doing. Okay, I just need to try to get.
Yeah.
Maybe if
I. Yeah, there you go. Put your there. There you go.
Okay.
Okay. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm back. We are up now.
Okay. Control and okay, y'all. If y'all just hang on a minute, I hopefully will have it here. Okay, we're gonna try and see if this works. Is this touch screen? Okay. All right, we are in. I guess we better rebound. I guess I better. Sorry, we had a problem with my computer. It's just been a total disaster on the computers tonight. We've got 5 computers here, and we tried it on. Well, I can't describe it. Anyway, it didn't work, but we finally got one that looks like it might. So we're going to go with that. Let's prepare ourselves this evening in our usual fashion. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer, the option of rebound if necessary. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to be here to grow in grace and knowledge. We're so thankful that it doesn't depend upon our IQ or anything about us except our positive volition. So we pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what I'm going to be starting this Sunday. And the reason I'm telling you is because I would like for you to tell maybe some of your family members, your neighbors or friends or whoever it may be, because this would be a perfect time for someone to start something that I have not taught before. What I'm going to be teaching is major events of the Bible. And we're going to start, of course, in Genesis 1:1. I would say creation is a major event in the Bible. And I'm not going to be teaching Genesis verse by verse all the way through, nor will I be exegeting most of the time. Some of the time I will, especially in the first few verses of Genesis. And it's going to be different in the sense that if someone is here and they are uninitiated, they don't know hardly anything about the Bible, if they start with this series and they stick with it, then they are going to start to connect the dots. They're going to be stronger in their spiritual life. They will acquire confidence, courage, and stability. And they will acquire also a personal sense of eternal destiny if they stick with it. And if they come this Sunday, and they won't miss out on anything. They'll start from the very get-go. So that's why I'm telling you what I'm going to be teaching. I'm excited about it because you can assure them that it will be interesting and that they will learn. They'll learn things probably they never heard before. So we have, today is Tuesday. We have less than a week to invite people. And it'd be best, I mean, you can invite them if they can't get here to go online, but it's better if they're here. It's just like our 25th anniversary. I don't know what it was like online, but I know what it was like here. And half the fun is visiting with people and interacting, having fellowship and all that afterwards. And that is a dimension you can't get online, but we're glad for those who are online. Well, I thank all of you who came to the 25th anniversary. It made it all the more special. And it went much better than I had anticipated. This was really the first event where we had people from other churches, pastors coming here. And I appreciate all the work that went into it by all of you to make it a success. And I think it was a very big success. Even the pastor panel, which I was a little bit apprehensive about, but from the reports I received, they liked that quite a bit. So we'll see what we can do about having something like that again in the future, but not in the near future. We have to kind of recuperate from that. I received an email by Dr. Jim Brittell, and he had an email that he had attached from IQ Rizzoli. He is an expert in Islam. That is a pseudonym. It's not his real name. We don't even know exactly where he is. But he was explaining, I have it on this thumb drive, but I'm not going to touch this because I just barely got it where I am. So I'm just giving you a highlight. He was talking about how important the election was to the rest of the world. He said that people around the world were really watching closely as to what happened. And what happened to this country was akin to Brexit, which was, of course, Great Britain voting to get out of the EU. Nobody saw it coming, and yet it was a shock. And it was a huge step in the right direction towards freedom. We've done the same thing here now. And he said all of Europe is taking note. And it has emboldened people across the globe that if Great Britain can do it, and especially if the United States can do it, then maybe they can do it as well. So there are repercussions across the globe because of what happened. It is of tremendous magnitude that for the first time ever in our history, someone who was not a career politician is now holding the reins to the highest office in the land. I see it as God answering prayer. I mean, I know all I was praying, all of you were praying, Christians across the country were praying. But this doesn't mean that we're going to have Shangri-La here. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be the mountains flowing with milk and honey. What we actually have received from our God is more time. We have now time that He has given us before His wrath pours upon this country to start turning it around and getting it right. For believers to grow up spiritually, to have an impact, to have a spiritual impact in this land. We were so close, and we're still close to out-and-out Christian persecution. I think if the election had gone the other way, it wouldn't be long before we would not even recognize this country as far as the freedoms that we would lose, especially for Christians, because Christians had, and maybe still have to some degree, a target on us. And now we have a chance and we have time to do something with it. The bad news is if history is any indicator, we will squander this one as well. Fall right back into old wheel ruts of unrighteousness, get back into political correctness, and go along to get along. I hope that's not the case. Time will tell. But it's incumbent upon every one of us to make sure that we do our part. We're not responsible for people in other cities. We're not even responsible for people in our own congregation that might not be the salt and light that they should be. But we are responsible, each one of us, to God for our actions and our thoughts. And more importantly than anything, our hunger for His Word, to learn it and to apply it. Because that's the only salvation that we have. So, anyway, I was going to give you the email. I kind of give you an indication of what it was about. And now we're going to go on with our discernment. And we were going to go through the seven ministries of the Holy Spirit. And I was going to give you verses and everything. But because we are very fragile right now on this computer, I'm afraid if I go somewhere else, I'll lose what we have. So what I'm going to do is just continue with the notes that I have. I was able to secure the notes, and we'll start from there. Prayer plays a major role in staying spiritually healthy. If you want to know how spiritually healthy you are, all you need to do is consider what your prayer life has been like lately. Because your prayer life is an indicator of your spiritual health. Prayer is the place where we fight spiritual battles. Prayer doesn't have to be eloquent, but it does need to be earnest. It doesn't have to be stirring, but it does have to be honest. It doesn't have to be done with emotion, but it does have to be done with faith. That's how we are to pray. And one reason that prayer is so important, because when you boil it down, what is prayer? We're talking to God. He talks to us through His Word, and we talk to Him through prayer. How can you have a good relationship with anyone if you go a whole day and you don't talk to them? And some people go a lot longer than that. Some people might go 2 days, a week, a month. Some people never pray. But if you're going to be a Christian soldier, if you're going to be a royal ambassador and act like it, then you're going to be needing to talk to our Lord frequently, every day. We don't have to get in a prayer closet and get down on our knees. Anywhere we are, without even mentioning a word, because God knows our thoughts, we can thank Him for something. We can ask Him for something. We can look for guidance.
We can look for, we can ask for help. But I think what all of us need to do more of in our prayer life is give thanks. Even on the little things, give thanks. Give thanks in all things, in fact. But we tend to let the little things slide and just kind of take it for granted. You'll be surprised. Maybe you won't be, but most people would be surprised how much closer you'll be to the Lord when you talk to Him throughout the day, and especially even on the little things. When you look back at your life, you can remember the big events, the big transitions, the big things that happen to some degree. But when you think back on a loved one that has gone on to be with the Lord, what do you think about? I think about the little things. I think about some little, maybe seemingly insignificant thing that someone said to me or did for me, whatever it may be, and that's what stands out in my mind. So little things do mean a lot, and we need to thank the Lord for it. Because He is the one behind us that is going to get us through this life in the devil's world. I have a few verses here to reinforce what I'm saying about how important prayer is to stay spiritually healthy. And remember, we have started out with physical health, mental health, and now we're on spiritual health. And this one is the most important one. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, it says, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And when it says pray without ceasing, it doesn't mean that's all we do. We get up in the morning and all we do is pray. What it's talking about is pray regularly. It should be part of your routine. And I don't think that we should force ourselves to pray. Sometimes I get up in the morning. Most of the time, before I even get up, I pray. But sometimes I don't. Sometimes I get up and my mind is already racing about things that I have to do. And so I will go and I'll start taking care of some of those things, and then I'll stop when I've got some of that static out of my mind, and then I can pray. So it doesn't have to be a routine that every day at 4 o'clock you're going to pray, that type of thing. But it should be repetitive. It should be a routine. A routine meaning frequently, but it doesn't have to be at any given particular time. Now this is the hard part in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. If you were here for the 25th anniversary and you heard Pastor Bob Bolander, boy, wasn't that terrific? He was talking about Psalm 88. And Psalm 88 looks like, oh, this is horrible. It's drudgery. But he illustrated that Ethan was giving thanks for all of these things. And the things were horrible. He kept saying he didn't know every night before he went to bed whether he'd live till the next day. And yet, even through all that, he had the capacity to thank the Lord because he knew that the Lord was in control and that the Lord loved him beyond measure, and whatever was the Lord allowed to happen in his life was for his own good. He connected the dots, and not many people do this, and it's not in our nature. What happens when you get bad news? What happens when something breaks? Just like I'm thanking the Lord that we have this right here, that I can go through the notes. I could give you the best that I could remember what we're going through here, but now I put time in heaven to word it properly, put it in the right order, and now He's provided this computer for us to do it. You say a little thing? Well, little things add up, don't they? So we are give thanks for all things. For listen to this, in verse 18 at the end it says, "For this is the will for you in Christ Jesus." What is God's will? God's will is for us to give thanks in all things. There is no accidents. There is no bad luck. Every little thing that happens in your life is for a reason. And in my own mind, I think I'm doing better about my behavior, or at least my mental attitude in traffic and when I'm on the road. I don't even like to stop for stoplights or a stop sign. And if somebody's in front of me and they're holding up things, it can get me out of sorts. But people have told me, and I try to remember, it might be that I'm being held up because there's a wreck that's going to happen about 2 miles down the road, and the Lord is sparing me from that. And when you start thinking like that, your blood pressure goes down. But when you have a deep wheel rut, it's hard to get out of it. But we can. And we can even thank the Lord. Even if there's not a wreck down there, the Lord is trying to teach me patience. And I say, okay, Lord, but why does it always have to happen when I'm late, when I'm in a hurry? It doesn't matter. That's when the test is most potent, isn't it? So anyway, I don't know. I will confess to you right now, and you probably would do the same if you were honest, which I imagine you are. I do not give God thanks in everything. Some things that happen, my old sin nature kicks into gear before as quick as lightning hits, I'm already not happy. So this is something that we work toward, or at least I work toward. I submit to you that no one will rejoice or in everything give thanks unless they are praying often and on a regular basis. If you're not doing that, you are not going to always rejoice, and you're not going to give thanks in everything. Unless you are plugged in, talking to the Lord, talking to God the Father, regularly and often. James 1, verse 2 through 8 says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." When was the last time you did that? I don't want to know. The question may be more accurate by saying, have we ever done that? But we can. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect," meaning complete, "lacking in nothing." How important is endurance? You know what another word for endurance is? It's not exactly the same, but it's pretty close. Consistency. Consistency and endurance are pretty close. In other words, people may get a taste of taking in the word, but if they don't have endurance, if they are not consistent, what benefit is it going to be? And one reason it's so hard to get back into the routine of taking in the word once you have, let's say, backslidden, what makes it hard is that you're no longer in that routine. You have to catch, it's like a train starting, it's slow, and you have to catch up to speed. But when you're consistent and you go from one lesson to the next one to the next one, you have continuity of thought and it all comes together. But when you just plug in here and plug in, you know, another next month or whatever there, it's like reading a novel and you go to chapter one, you start in it there, and then let's say there's a group of people reading a book, and then you go about 3 weeks later and they're on chapter four. And how much are you going to be able to understand about that novel? And maybe, okay, I'm going to stay with it this time. It's interesting. So you go two or three times in a row, you get a little momentum, but then you get distracted, and again, you come back a month later, and they're on chapter 10. The last time you were read in was in chapter 5. You see what I'm talking about? So endurance is akin to consistency. And very important. So let's see it again. James 1, 2 through 8. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect results so that you may be complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, what should you do? If you don't have wisdom, if you lack wisdom, what should you do? I can tell you aren't looking at the verse, or else you just tell me.
Ask of God.
Yeah. You ask God for it. Boy, I ask God for discernment and wisdom and all the time. And what does it say? It says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who does what? Who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. One reason we don't have is because we don't ask. We'll get to that in a minute. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded, disukos in the Greek, double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So if we don't have, whatever it may be, we should ask, and the Lord gives, what does it say? Generously and without reproach. But if you ask, doubting that He's going to get it, you won't get it. You have to have faith. So in James here gives a reason why prayers are not answered. And that's because you don't ask in faith. Now, in the same book, James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, it goes on and gives another reason why God does not answer prayer. You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. See, there that is again. You don't ask. But then he adds another dimension here. You ask and do not receive because you ask for the wrong motive so that you may spend it on your pleasures. This does away with the people saying, well, if all I have to do is ask and it will be granted, then I'll ask for $1 million, ask for whatever I want, but if you're doing it just to satisfy your own lust for material things, then he doesn't answer that either. And see, if you're asking while you're filled with the Spirit, then is he going to hear your prayer?
Yes,
yeah, he's going to hear your prayer. But will he answer it the way you want it to be answered? That's the right answer. Not necessarily. Because we have our own, in our own mind, what we think is best for us, what we want, what we desire. We kind of have our life kind of planned out. But that doesn't mean that that's the best way. And so when we ask the Lord to provide things for us in order for all these things to come to pass, and it doesn't happen, it isn't because He's not listening or that He didn't hear your prayer. But if He gave you what you want, it won't be the best for you. It might even be harmful for you. And that's where the faith has to come in. People give up praying. They say, well, I've prayed and prayed and prayed, and nothing of it. Nothing ever comes of it. Well, it could be that the Lord is sparing you from yourself. Okay, I think that I've lost my place here. Okay, hold on. I'm not familiar with this laptop, and it's extremely sensitive. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Okay.
Why? I'm glad y'all not seeing this. I just went from lesson 67 to lesson 54. And all I did was breathe on it. Okay, I'm getting close here. I think we might be there. I didn't think that we would be so soon. Okay. Okay. So, this verse gives us two more reasons why so many believers do not have what they want out of life. And it gives two reasons why. Why? Number one, we don't ask. And number two, we ask for the wrong reasons. Now, I have a quote here from John Eichmann, the Great Military Ministry. It's a newsletter, and I get this from John Eichmann. If you want to be added to it, it's for free, and I'll give you his address or his email. He says, listen to this. When we as believers learn to be thankful to the Father every morning for the new day He has given us to worship and serve Him, then we are spiritually mature enough to face the trials and tests that we will face on that given day. This means that through the consistent filling and guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can make every day our own personal Thanksgiving day. Isn't that great? I mean, do you thank the Lord for the day that you have? I mean, we're strange creatures. I mean, there are things that we have no control over, but we... About maybe 8 hours, 7 hours, 6 hours is different for different people. But isn't it amazing? Every day we go into a coma. It's like a coma. We sleep. We have to have sleep. And we don't know what's going on. It's like blacking out for a period of time. And then you wake up. And where it was dark, now the sun's coming up. And you're very vulnerable during that time because you don't know what's going on. And when you wake up and you see that sun... Or even when you don't, maybe it's a rainy day or something, but still, you thank the Lord for that day. And what that's showing is capacity. When you're thanking Him for that day, in your own soul, you're recognizing that you're not taking it for granted. The Bible doesn't reference our lifetime in decades or years or months or weeks. It references it in days because He gives us one day at a time. And I think that's good because, I don't know about you, I need to think in terms maybe of 24 hours. Not 48 hours, not 72 hours, not a week. Just 24 is all I can handle. And a lot of times I can't even handle that. And when you get up in the morning, you have no idea what's going to happen that day. Now you think, oh, this is a regular day, I'll go through my routine, blah, blah, blah. How many times has it actually happened to where you don't get a phone call from somebody. You get a little surprise. The car won't start. I mean, just a host of things that are going to happen. And when you wake up, first of all, thanking the Lord for that day and thanking Him for getting you through that day and getting you through that day with a smile on your face, giving gratitude during the whole time. We're not responsible for that. He is. Uh-oh. A little too far. Man. Oh, pardon me. I just went back to lesson 54.
Yeah. That one likes you.
Maybe I can do this. Touch this and touch this. Okay, I'm on the right lesson now. Okay. I'm sorry for the delay here.
But if you saw what I'm doing, I'm holding my breath. If I breathe a little too hard, there it went. Did y'all hear what Dot said? Okay, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians 1, 9. And this is going to dovetail into what we were looking at in the circles with Operation Z. The vocabulary we had and the technical words are in these verses, and so it will really should come to life for you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason also, and the reason that we have in prior verses is that they were doing what was right. They were on the ball. They were doing, they were growing. And it says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you. Now, stop there just a second. They were doing what's right. He was glad that they were doing it. Is that any reason to stop praying for them? No. Sometimes that's when you need to pray all the more, because we can always fall into arrogance or think that everything is going to be rosy. So he said, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge. I want you to underline that may be filled. And if you can do this, if you can have room in your margin or somewhere, you can put the morphology of that verb and just use letters. Maybe you'll remember this. We have a card back there that will help you. This is the aorist passive subjunctive. So you can put, if you want to, put a V and a period, meaning it's a verb. APS stands for aorist passive subjunctive. Now, what that means, there's the aorist tense is not saying that it's a point of time. The actual time frame doesn't matter. It's just saying that it happened. But what's really important is that the passive voice and the subjunctive mood is important on that. And I'm going to, after we get through this verse, I'll give you more about that phrase. But what it essentially means is that Paul is asking that they will be filled, that they will receive, that's the passive voice, they would be filled, and they would receive this filling with the knowledge of his will. So it's something that they would receive, and it's in the subjunctive mood. He recognizes maybe they will and maybe they won't. He's not saying that we know you will be filled. That would be in the indicative mood, because no one can know if someone else is going to get doctrine or not, because it's dependent upon what? Their volition. So he says that you may be filled with the knowledge, and that word knowledge there is epignosis. Remember in Operation Z where that is? That is information that has been understood and has been transferred over into the dominant portion of your soul, which is the cardia. It has become long-term memory, and it is now usable for you. So he says, we ask that you may be filled with the knowledge, epignosis, knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom. Spiritual is an adjective, and listen, see if you recognize this word. The word here is pneumatikos. Remember that? That's spiritual information understood. What does he want them to be filled with? The knowledge of his, God's will, in all pneumatika, spiritual matters. Spiritual wisdom, it says, Sophia. Remember, wisdom is acquired from the scriptures. intelligence you may be born with, but this Sophia, wisdom, is God's wisdom that comes from the Scriptures. And he says, and understanding. The Greek word for understanding is sunesis, S-U-N-E-S-I-S, and it's referring to intelligence. You can understand these Scriptures because you have developed over a period of time a technical vocabulary. I'm giving you more vocabulary tonight. And as you understand that, when you see epinosis, you know what it means. It's not just that they heard this and still trying to figure out what to do with it. They've already accepted it. It's in their soul. Verse 10. So that you will walk. Now, walking, this is what I want you to know about walking, is an aorist active. It's an infinitive, means to walk, so that you will walk. So, being filled is a verb, and it's talking about in the passive voice, because God is going to, all we have is positive volition, and we receive all this if we have positive volition. But now, after you do this, after you have the knowledge, and you have acquired the spiritual pneumaticus, wisdom and understanding, in verse 10, it says, so that you will walk. In other words, now he expects you to do something with it. It's in the active voice. Aorist active. Peripateo, it means to walk. So that you will walk, aorist active, in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. Now we have another verb. Bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit is a present active, which means it means keep on doing it, and you're the one that has to do it. So what we see here is when we are filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, then what we are expected to do is walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. The action we produce to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. And that is in the active voice. So we just don't get this information, all this spiritual knowledge, just so we can say we have it. The reason that God imparts this to us is so that we will walk in a way that's pleasing to Him, and that we will be able to produce every good work. What kind of work? What you see here where it says bearing fruit, karpos in the Greek is fruit. So if we're going to bear fruit, where would we go if we were going to see, okay, He wants us to bear fruit. What kind of fruit? And we're talking about fruit of the Spirit. So where would we go? Galatians chapter 5. Yeah, well, you can start around verse 16 and go through. The first is, somebody said last time, the bad news or the bad stuff with a whole host of sins. Then you have the nine fruit of the Spirit. That's what we should be producing. This is how you can tell if you are growing, if you're fitting this definition here. Pleasing Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in knowledge. Now, increasing, you can put by that word, it's participle, but it's in the present passive voice. See, we increase in knowledge, but you know why it's in the passive voice? It's not in the active voice. We do not acquire knowledge by our actions. We have to receive it. And one reason it's in the passive voice is because the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. We can't just pick up this book out of fellowship and read it and figure it out. We receive this knowledge. The present tense means that we keep on receiving it. So he says, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge, and that, guess what that word is? Epinosis knowledge, again, that's full knowledge of God. And then we have strengthened with all power. What do you think? Do you think strengthened is a present active verb or a present passive verb? You can think this one through. Do you get your power by working on it yourself? No. This comes from the Lord. So that's a present passive. So you could read this. Now, you need to keep on bearing fruit in every good work. Now, you keep on doing that, and it's your responsibility. You're going to produce that. And increasing in the knowledge of God. But that's keep on receiving that knowledge. In verse 11, strengthened with power. And that strengthened is the present passive. We receive that power. And the word there for power is a interesting word. The Greek word is dunamo, D-U-N-A-M-O-O, dunamo. But in the Greek, when you have a U, it always comes into the English as a Y, and that would come across as dynamo. You see where we get the power there? So it's dynamo with power. That's the Holy Spirit's power, of course. With all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Isn't that what we all need? Steadfastness and patience. Now look, I know I'm a poster child for being impatient, but I'm not by myself. How many of you just love to wait for the Lord to do what you want Him to do? How long do y'all just say, oh, thank you, Lord? By the way, when I asked it for you to do, don't do it anytime. When you get around to it, whenever. No, that's not how we do it, is it? So I'm not the only one that is plagued with the monster of impatience. So if we're doing that, what we see in this verse, these verses, the attaining of all steadfastness, being steady and patient, joyously giving thanks. Now, do you think that's a present active or a present passive? That's the present active. That's our part. We're receiving all these things, and it's just natural for us to do what? To give thanks. And guess what that word is? You'll know it. You'll be familiar with it when I say it. It's eucharisteo. Eucharisteo. What word do you know that sounds similar to that? Eucharist. Remember, the E-U in the Greek in front of a word means good. And this is good grace, or it's here translated thanks. When we have communion, the Lord's Supper, or Eucharist, all those are all essentially synonyms, we're giving thanks. And it says, giving thanks, and that's a present active, we're the ones doing it, to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of saints in light. So when it says, who has qualified us, that's an aorist active, but it's the God that's doing it. He's producing that action that qualifies us. And what are we qualified for? To share in the inheritance of the saints. What is that talking about? It's talking about inheriting heaven. It's talking about having inheriting rights. And at the judgment seat of Christ, that every believer will stand before Jesus Christ, there is going to be shame for most Christians. They're going to be ashamed that they squandered their time on earth, all the grace that He gave them, and they were only thinking about, I've got this, and satisfying their own lust. They didn't care about growing. They never had any spiritual momentum. There was no spiritual dynamics. They had no personal sense of eternal destiny. They didn't have anything in the spiritual realm. They wasted it. And they will be disinherited as well. They will have no inheritance in heaven. Oh, they'll be there. So, when you put all that together, and I'm sorry that I went over that fairly quickly, but I did it in depth enough for you to understand. When you slow down and you understand what these verbs, the tense of these verbs are, and some of them are active, some of them are passive, it starts to gel that God's got the whole plan covered. But when He does certain things, He expects certain things from us. Like, maybe filled with the knowledge. That's the aorist passive subjunctive. That means, what do we do in order to be filled with knowledge? I mean, do we work for that? Or is it something we receive? It's something we receive. What do we see? We need to work. We're expected to work. It's work. Good works are down here in this, but it's not has to do. We don't work to get filled with the knowledge of God. We receive it. So how do we receive it? What do you have in order to receive to be filled with the knowledge of God, both in wisdom and in understanding of His will? What do we need? We need to want it. You have to desire it. And when you desire it, when you're hungry for it, God is going to do it. He's going to see that it happens. So that you will walk. Now see, after you have, once you've received this knowledge of His will and spiritual wisdom and understanding, verse 10, now you have that, He expects you to do something with it, so it's in the active voice. So that you will walk. And that's the aorist active participle. Bearing fruit. Present active. We keep on bearing fruit. And increasing in knowledge. But the way we increase in knowledge is in the passive voice. We don't work to increase in knowledge. What we do, the only thing that we add to the knowledge part is a desire. We call it positive volition. If you have positive volition, God will feed you. Remember when during this anniversary, I said the only reason the Country Bible Church even exists is because someone in this area had positive volition. And that's all it took. When you have positive volition, you don't have to worry about, well, how am I going to get it? That's God's problem. He's going to do it. What He did in order for this church to be here, you could write volumes on it. That I had no control of. No one here had any control on it. But the fact is that when you have the desire, He will feed it. That's what He wants. He wants more than anything for you to see who He is. What has He done? Learn about this. That's what this book is. It's revealing what is knowable about God. And when you start learning those things, you can't help but love Him. You can't help but worship Him and be in awe of Him. And that's what He desires. You can't do that in ignorance. So when you take these few verses and exegete them, He's taking these people starting out who are doing the right thing and He continuing to pray for them so they can have this wisdom and they can have this knowledge of God's will and that they will walk then. Walk in verse 10. Remember I said that was the active voice? So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and please Him in all respects. And to bear fruit, you're doing all this, increasing in knowledge and being strengthened in all this. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. So He's taking them from just doing the right thing. What His desire is that they will have an inheritance and walk with the saints in light. Who are the saints that are walking in light? Well, that's super grace believers. Those are the overcomers. Those are the ones that you're going to notice on the other side of this life. When they come down the street, you better put on your sunglasses because they're going to put your lights out. Put your eyes out. They're going to be shining. That's what He wants for all of us. It is a reward. It is part of the decorations and rewards and all the wonderful things that are happening and that will happen for all eternity. We're just preparing for what's next. And that's what this verse is all about. And I'm done. I'm out of time. So I guess it wasn't so bad that we didn't have the PowerPoint that I was going to show you. We were going to go through the seven ministries of the Holy Spirit. But we did make some headway. So what do we go home with tonight? We go home with the idea that we need to pray consistently, regularly, honestly, all through the day. Because you cannot be spiritually healthy and have a poor prayer life. And when you do that, then you're going to be able to go to Colossians 1, 9 through 12 and go through these verses that are taking you from your positive volition and growing and learning all the way to be able to be qualified to have an inheritance and walk with the saints in light. That's what God wants for us. That's what we can have. And it doesn't depend on us other than wanting it. And we want it and desire it. He'll see to it that we'll have it. That's the kind of God we have. Let's close. Father, thank you for this time we could fellowship in your word tonight. We pray that we all will be challenged to be closer to you, intimately close with you through prayer, through meditation, just thinking about you, thinking about all that you have. And especially this time of year, we're getting close to Thanksgiving and Christmas, and boy, it's so easy to get our mind distracted from what's really important in this life. These verses bring us back down to reality. For what is really important is to be qualified to receive the inheritance and walk with the saints in light. We're talking about major, colossal things and things that last forever. Help us to not squeeze out these so important and wonderful things in our thinking and get on the details of life. Help us to meditate on these things and then carry them out. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.